The motorsports world is where legends are made, the unthinkable happens, and barriers are broken. One man harnesses the power of an industry every week. This is the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor with Jim Beaver.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Hopefully, you guys have had a great holiday. I know we took a week off, and now we're back in the swing of things. Christmas is upon us. I've already got the Christmas music playing in my truck. Melikaliki Maka, yes, little Bing Crosby going on this morning. We are here through the duration, through December. Let me tell you, we have some massive announcements to come up with in regards to the radio show and a bunch of other stuff in 2021. So it's going to be an exciting month. But not only that, we got some exciting guests lining up for not only this show, but the entire month of December. So if you think there's no motorsports going on and this show is going to be lame, stop, pause. Correct yourself, because trust me, we are coming out swinging. I've also been working on a ton of projects. Got a new project with Rigid Industries I've been working on with their new Chase Light. So we're going to be talking about that. I've been filming some commercials, got some rad video content coming out and things like that. So we got a lot of stuff upon us. Thanks to all of you tuning in, whether it's first time or you're a regular listener, at Sports Byline and those 200 networks, U.S. American Forces Network. Thank you to our military. Thanks to all our friends there at Sirius XM, Channel 211, Dan Patrick Radio, tuning in Sunday mornings here on the show, Podcast One, Apple Podcasts, DownAndDirtyShow.com, and wherever you're listening, thank you guys for joining us, man. It's you guys that keep us going. Next year marks 10 years on air. Yeah, 10 years on air. Crazy to think that the show's been around that long, but speaking of reasons why we're around that long, well, number one, it's because we always have hella good guests on this show, and this week is definitely no disappointment. We have Baja 1000 overall champion Luke McMillan locked in right here on the show. We've got Baja 1000 overall UTV winner Wes Miller locked in right here on the show. And we have rally legend going into the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame, my good friend Natalie Richard, on this show as well. Let me tell you, you want a star-studded cast of epic people today right here on the show. We are bringing it to you. Follow along, all the fun. Please hit me up at JimBeaver15 on social media if you haven't already, and we'll take your questions on the show, and we'll be back kicking things off after this with the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high-performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. Want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
From the 2018 Master Distillers of the Year comes a bold new American whiskey in Fistful of Bourbon. Their whiskeys have been award-winning for generations. Now they're going all in on bourbon, blending five straight whiskeys to create a big, balanced bourbon that stands apart from everything else. So grab yourself a fistful of bourbon, a blend of five bourbons created with over 100 years of whiskey blending experience. It ain't just a bourbon, it's a damn fistful. Please enjoy responsibly.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome my good friend and all-around badass Luke McMillan to the show, who is officially a Baja 1000 champion. Luke, welcome, my friend.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, I'm excited to talk about the Baja 1000. I, as most people know, I eat and breathe and sleep the Baja 1000. So excited to talk about the big win.
Yeah. Well, I guess we should talk about this year because you guys have had one hell of a year. I mean, the world kind of fell apart, but Luke McMillan's put it all back together, man. I got to say, this is, you know, you hate to say there's been good that came out of 2020 for anybody, but Luke, you have definitely had a good year, buddy.
Yeah, no, thank you. That's been a common joke between my brother and I and the shop and a lot of family and friends and stuff is, yeah, it's been a tough year for a lot of people, but yeah, I guess you could say we made the best of it. It's, the Baja 1000 was just the cherry on top of a really good season. You know, what was cool about it was, we raced the Mint 400, back in March, and that was our first big win of the season. And that was about 2 weeks before COVID was even a thing. And so that was the last racing event we had, was the Mint 400 before we kind of got shut down. We won that one overall in the 83 truck. And then, you know, we had a couple months break while everything settled down with COVID and we're all locked down and stuff. And then we came back to the Silver State 300, our first race back, and we backed up the win with another win. So, that was really cool. That was a great way to start the season. And then it was time to get down to Baja, you know, later in the year once, Mexico allowed us to come down south again. And the entire team did awesome. You know, I got to also mention my brother won the Baja 500 and then we go and win the Baja 1000. So, yeah, 2020 was just about as good as it could get as far as racing goes for McMillan Racing. But, pretty ironic.
Yeah, well, I guess it's a McMillan sweep of Baja. That's it's never a bad thing. And I was fortunate to talk to your brother here a couple months back after his Baja win. But, you know, the funny thing about this one is you and Dan were having a hell of a battle there down at the 1000 to start things off too, man. That had to have been kind of fun slicing and dicing with your brother.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so Larry Rosler, Dan and I got in at race mile 430, which, yeah, we were still – I think we're first and third on the road. And then we went back and forth even in our section, but, not to mention Larry Rosler started the 83 truck and then Justin Bean Smith started the 23 for my brother. And, we had good start positions based on the 500 finishing order, which was first and third. We crossed paths at least twice at the Baja 500, you know, went back and forth with a flat tire or a mistake on my part that they got back by me. And so we started that way. And, the team was feeling confident, and that was definitely a highlight of the season, was to have trucks running first and second, first and third all day long at the Baja 1000. That was super cool, you know, and I got to give it to my brother. He played a huge role in this race, and everything we do, we're teammates, my brother and I. We pre-run together, our trucks are prepped together, we test together, we're helping each other out full time, so... That was really cool for the team just to be down there and run together and have two solid trucks. Unfortunately, Dan ended up losing a motor, I think somewhere up in the 700-mile range, and wasn't able to finish. But it would have been pretty cool to land the season that way. But, you know, he's happy for me as I was happy for him when he won the Baja 500. So it was really cool. In our craziest dreams, we couldn't imagine winning the Baja 500 and Baja 1000 in the same year. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, kind of take us through this too, because you know, you took the second leg of the race, and obviously your team with Larry Rossler, who, I mean, you know, he's one of the greatest of all time, hands down, two and four wheels. I mean, he's a beast, you know. And Larry, I mean, you're teaming with him, and obviously you're not worried about the speed or anything like that, but you know, there's got to be a little of that, you know, a little anxiety, because you're sitting there, you're sitting in, you know, in the chase truck for half a day waiting for your turn to go, man. I mean, waiting for the race to come to you. And, you know, and I've been in that position where it's a bit of Russian roulette. You know, something happens early on and there's a problem, and then all of a sudden you get in there and you're just kind of racing for a finish, you know? You know, so you kind of always have that, you know, that sitting out there where you might not be able to get real racy, but man, you get the truck handed to you and you're right in the thick of things, man.
Yeah, no kidding. And yeah, like you said, I mean, Larry Rossler, I can't say enough about the guy. He is, in my opinion, the greatest Baja racer of all time. And like you mentioned, it doesn't matter if it's two-wheel or four-wheel vehicle. He's won this thing 18 times in class and I think 14 overall, which is just incredible. And, you know, a lot of people want to, you know, write it up as, well, he's a bike guy or he's this guy. And the bottom line is Larry's just flat out talented at off-road racing. I mean, in anything, you can put him in anything, he's talented. And yeah, like you said, so I'm hanging out at the pit all day waiting to get in the truck, and everyone's asking, are you nervous, are you ready, you know? And the only thing I'm nervous is something to happen to the truck, because I couldn't have anyone better driving it down to me, you know, to race an all 430. And there's probably only, I can only think of one or two, maybe two people that I would have the same amount of confidence in to get the truck to me if nothing happens. And so just to have Larry start your truck is calming in its own way, because you just know, you know, he's been doing this for over 40 years. If he has a clean day with the truck, he's going to bring you a good truck in a good position, and the truck's going to feel really good. And that is exactly what happened. Larry and I have raced together the last three Baja 1000s, or this was our fourth actually. And yeah, we've led every single one of them. We've been out front, and just a real silly mechanical issue or just something super unlucky. And I hate blaming luck, but something would just bite us, and it was just such a bummer. So this year it was just like, all right, let's see what it's going to be. But I have every bit of confidence in Larry, like I should, just to be able to drive the vehicle down to me. And, you know, a lot of people ask about the strategy and stuff. And what it comes down to really is the Baja 1000 is such a long, long day. I mean, it took 19 hours and 10 minutes. That the first half of the race is obviously very important, but it really doesn't matter. You know, what really matters is that you just keep making headway, you keep making forward progress, and you bring your second driver a clean truck to go run that second half of the race. Because, you know, just thinking about the course, it was real gnarly that second half. The first half was tough. The beach is pretty standard, but it was a really tough course. And I feel like we say that every year, but just to keep moving forward is absolutely key. And that's what Larry did. And he brought me a truck third on the road, just a handful of minutes behind the lead truck, which, like we had said, was my brother, which was pretty cool. But yeah, no, having Larry start a truck is unbelievable. And to get a win with Larry Rossler is a dream come true, is literally the only way I can put it. Cause he's been a hero of mine my entire life, as most people in off-road racing look up to him. So to share his, you know, 18th win with him was incredible.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about your section too, because you had a race at night, and you know, Baja night racing is different than any other kind of night racing in the world. I mean, it truly is, because I've raced at night before down there in Baja, and the desolation and the remoteness of some of the stuff we go through, you know, it's like you start seeing things out, you know, off to the sides of the track and things like that. I mean, it's just a different feeling. I mean, you know, tell me how you kind of approach that, man, because obviously you've raced in Baja at night, but I mean, did you pre-run at night or did you pre-run during the day? I mean, how did you approach your section? Because, you know, Baja's, you know, won and lost in the second half of the race, and especially having to do it at night like you did. I mean, that's tough on a driver, man.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And yeah, like you said, I got in, I think it was probably 6 or 7 o'clock at night. It was dark already. And we did pre-run at night, and that's extremely important because, like you said, you start seeing things. It's a lot of tunnel vision. You know, your lights are lighting up the road. We have Baja Design lights, which are just amazing LED lights that, you know, light up every bit you need to see. But at the same time, you start getting that tunnel vision, and you know, we pre-run the section during the day, and you can look left and right, and you can see all these different landmarks. You know, you can see this mountain out in the distance. You know, okay, up at that big tree, I'm going to go left, and then I'm going to go right. And you're looking, and then you get your notes that say stay left, middle, or stay far right. Well, it throws a whole different factor when it's nighttime and your lights, you know, you're sideways in the truck. The truck's going sideways down the course. Your lights are aimed out to the left. Luckily, hopefully you have enough cornering light to still see down the road. And when your co-rider calls something out, and you may not see it because now it's pitch black. So we absolutely pre-run at night to prepare for night racing. But truth be told, I love night driving. I actually, it helps me. I honestly believe I'm probably quicker at night. And I think a lot of it has to do with just the lights shining down the road. You stay focused on the road, and you're just looking at what's ahead of you, and you're just clicking along. My section particularly was really rough, and it was long. So we got in down on Highway 3 when the course came back east from the West Coast along the Pacific. So I was on Highway 3. I got in, and I had a few hundred miles of the San Felipe Whoops to go. And then on top of that, after that, we had to go over the Cordina de Molina summit, which is, you know, I call it the Los Pinos summit or the new summit. And that was just extremely narrow and tight. And pre-running, I had told myself, so, well, by the time we get to this point in the race, you know, we're going to be 15, 16 hours in, things are going to be pretty spread out. You know, I just got to keep the truck moving and stuff. And that wasn't the case at all. I mean, we battled my brother and Pudia, Rob McCachran, the entire day. So starting from when I got in the truck, a lot of sand washes, which was really cool. Down in that San Felipe section, that's what that area is well known for, is it's sand washes and whoops, and they had plenty of that.
Hey, Luke, we're going to have to put a quick pause on things. We'll be back with more with Luke McMillan when we return here to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at gspxtv.com today.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Right now, we've got my good friend and overall Baja 1000 winner, Mr. Luke McMillan, on the show. Luke, we had to cut you off because we were getting up against the time break for that segment. But, you know, when we left off, you were in the middle about telling us the story of Baja and when you got in the truck. So let's roll from there, buddy.
I got in. I was third on the road. My brother was out front and Pudi was in between us. And I told Duncan, I said, my co-writer, so we're just going to get in there and hit our lines. And in the blink of an eye, we're going to be right up on their bumpers. And that is what happened. We hit our first sand wash. It's called Cuevitas Wash. And we just had every line nailed in there. And we were just on rails. And before we knew it, we're up in their dust. And, of course, my brother and I, being teammates, he's calling out race miles. You know, race mile 755, everything's okay. Duncan starts the stopwatch. Boom. Okay, Luke, we're 45 seconds behind him. We just hit 755. So we're going off of that. And then the whole time I'm thinking, wow, and Pudi is in between us. This is incredible. I don't see him. I'm in dust. My brother's 45 seconds ahead of me. And there's another truck in front of us. And the dust was so thick that you literally couldn't even see the thousands of lumens of LED lights he had on his truck. But I could see his roof. So I'm like, all right, well, now it's time to be patient because, like you said, the Baja 1000 is won and lost in the second half, and patience is key. It's a 19-hour race. So we back off. I let Ampudi and my brother go at it, and I'm like, let me just hang out back here. One of these guys is going to stub their toe, make a mistake, and I do not want it to be me. There's no one behind me. Time to be smart. And so that's what we did. And Pudi ended up getting a flat tire. We picked him off. Now we're second on the road, which was really cool. Because then it was, you know, again, my teammate, 23 and 83 out front. 1 and 2 is like, wow, this is something else. And I ran up on my brother. I'm calling him on the radio. Just, hey, just want to let you know that I'm the next vehicle behind you. Not necessarily, hey, move over or anything, but just, it's not in Pudia, it's me. Don't be too concerned about, you know, getting hit or getting chased. It's your teammate back here, you know? So, So we go up this wash, and my brother calls back. How close are you? I'm like, well, I can see your lights. I'm here, you know, I'm here. And you got to thank my big brother. He pulls over. He's running a little bit more conservative. He's got the new all wheel drive truck. Yeah. So he ends up pulling over for me, and he's, go Luke, go win this thing, is what he said. And I hop on the radio and thank you. And we took off, and that was really cool. So for the fourth year in a row, we were out front of the Baja 1000 again, physically. And that was just a wave of emotion. Like, okay, here I am. It's back in the palm of my hand. What's going to happen? How are we going to handle this? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that that's a lot of pressure too. Once you're leading, and you and I have both seen these races where you're leading with, you know, only 100 miles to go, 150 miles to go, or something like that. And, you know, something happens and all of a sudden, you know, there's a fluke winner. I mean, we saw it at the Minute 400 this year, right, Luke? I mean, you know, the lead changed how many times, and, you know, being up front at the Minute 400 wasn't exactly a good thing this year, you know? So, I mean, you got to have all kinds of thoughts creeping into your head when you're out front, you know?
Oh yeah. No, it's just, you know, and like I said, this was 4 years in a row for us at the Baja 1000. And so it's just, you know, you feel like it's sitting in the palm of your hand, but you still got 300 or 400 miles to go. But yeah, it's not nerve wracking really to perform. You know, I'm confident in what I can do in the truck and our notes and stuff, but it's the unknown. It's Baja, you know? So it's what's going to happen? What's going to take us out? It could be a booby trap. It could be just a fluke deal on the truck. It could be that I make a mistake. You know, I've been getting beat up in this truck for hours, and you know, anything could happen. You know, you come around a turn and you had a ditch or a rock marked from the other day, and someone changed it. Someone moved a tree in the road. You come around a blind turn. I mean, Baja is all about the unknown. So yeah, we're out front and it's just like, I wonder, you know, what's going to happen. And we're cruising. We're moving at a good pace, obviously, but at the same time, it's just in my head, I'm sitting there trying to think, okay, what pace do I run? How do I get this truck to the finish line? How do I make sure I don't get beat? Because that's one thing, you know, after being taken out in the lead with mechanical issues, that's one thing I told my team is, I said, if this truck lives, I refuse to lose. I'm not going to lose. So I pre-ran the last 100 miles, I think 7 or 8 times. Cause I said, if I get in a battle there, there's just no way I'm going down without knowing I put up a good fight.
Well, you know, all that being said, obviously, you know, you walk away with Baja 1000 win. You guys had a phenomenal year this year. Everybody going into next year, I mean, they've got Luke McMillan in their sights going, hey, this is the guy to beat. You know, he was the guy in 2020. I mean, heading into 2021, what are the plans for you guys? I mean, I know you love Baja. You know, I got a feeling we're going to see you, you know, full score series. Anything else on the calendar you guys like to go and do?
Yeah, so yeah, like you said, we love Baja, and it does take priority for us. That's just what our family is into, and you know, and specifically the Baja 500 and Baja 1000. Of course, you know, score kind of bases the start positions of that based on the San Felipe 250, which is a great race as well. And then there's the Baja 400, which, you know, we're kind of funneled in to go into that one. So on top of that, we'll be at the Mint 400 this year for sure, representing BF Goodrich Tires, like always. But you know, that's a big event to them. And it's the Mint 400, you know, it's a well-known race. The exposure it has is great. So we're going to be racing there. You know, even with COVID kind of coming back with this third wave or, you know, whatever you want to call it coming back, I think there is a little bit of unknown with Mexico. So we're kind of waiting it out. We actually don't know what our first race is going to be, whether it's going to be San Felipe in February or we will go to the King of the Hammers, which, again, that – King of the Hammers is an amazing event. Dave Cole does an awesome job. It's one of my most favorite events. We've got a first and a second place there the last 2 years they ran it. And I'd really like to go there, but unfortunately Mexico kind of takes priority. So we're going to kind of wait and see for that first race. And then next season, at some point, and I'm not sure when, we're going to be debuting an all-wheel drive truck, an 83 all-wheel drive truck. So my brother's in one right now. I'm currently building one with the Mason brothers. So that's another factor that I'm kind of waiting to see the timing. You know, the two-wheel drive I've been running is 7 years old. It's my baby. I've been working on it a long time. But it's a little bit tired. It needs some updates on geometry and horsepower. But it's still winning. Like you said, you know, we had a great year. So if it's not broken, don't fix it, right? So I'm a little unsure on what I want to do. I know the all-wheel drive is going to be quicker, but I don't know if I'm ready to give up the reliability. So that's kind of our season, what it looks like. We got two trucks to kind of pick from, and I'm not entirely sure on what we're going to race, but you'll definitely see us in Mexico, the Mint 400, and I'm hoping King of the Hammers.
Nice. Well, Luke, man, we are up against a time break, buddy, but as always, always a ton of fun catching up with you, your brother, heck, your dad even. Love all the stories and everything, and looking forward to seeing what you guys got up your sleeve for 2021.
Right on. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me on, and I love talking racing, so anytime I'd love to hop on and talk about it. So we'll see you guys next season, and I think it's going to be a great year.
Well, heck, man, what a story from Luke McMillan on Baja, and wow. I mean, you know, I don't think people really realize, I mean, to win, say, Daytona 500 or Indy 500, it takes a hell of a lot of, one, skill, but two, you know, preparation and things like that. But I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that none of them compare to Baja and the preparation that goes into Baja. I mean, you talk about the Indy 500 and the month of May and all the preparation and things like that that go into there. But Baja is a different animal, completely different animal. You go into the Baja 1000, I mean, it's double the length of the Indy 500. And on top of that, it's stretched over 1,000 miles. Indy 500, I mean, you know, these guys are just looping in a circle, right? And I love IndyCar. You guys know that about this show, right? But it's a different level of preparation and logistics. I mean, Indy, once you're there and you've got your little garage set up, I mean, you're there for the month of May, and, it's pretty easy, right? But with Baja, I mean, you've got people scattered up and down over a 1,000-mile course, and you've got all these moving pieces. You want to talk about something that's insanely difficult. And it's just, man, it's another level of preparation to not only finish the Baja 1000, but to actually win. And the McMillan family, they've been doing it for, 40, 50 years at this point. I mean, they have it figured out. Obviously, McMillan's sweep of Baja this year with Dan McMillan winning the Baja 500. Obviously, Luke McMillan winning the Baja 1000. Huge, huge year for McMillan, especially Luke. I mean, what did he say? Won Silver State, won the Mint 400. I know at one point he was running up front at King of the Hammers. I mean, what a great effort, a solid organization. I mean, that family, they put their heart and soul into desert racing. And, Luke is definitely, like we said earlier in the year, I feel like this was his breakthrough year. Everybody knew he was fast. Now he's the guy to beat. There's a difference. You know, you're always in the equation. You're a top five, top 10 guy. Everybody knows, oh, this guy's going to be kind of tough, and he might sneak through. Now Luke's the guy with a target on his back. Like, he is a number one. Come get me, boys. I am Luke McMillan, and this is my race to lose. And, that's a total different level than where he was heading into the season. And you want to talk about a big year for Luke McMillan? I mean, he's my driver of the year right there in off-road. That guy, he has done it. But we're going to take a short break. We got another Baja winner, Wes Miller. He's going to be on the line when we return here to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of RZR vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a RZR 170 like me, take the entire family out in a RZR XP 4-1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new RZR XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris RZR. Check out the full Polaris RZR lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris RZR. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris RZR. I'd like to welcome my good friend, Polaris RZR teammate, Wes Miller, to the show, man. What's happening, Wes?
Still kind of getting stuff unloaded and I guess putting everything away from the Baja 1000 and starting to get things ready for next year.
Yeah, well, let's talk about Baja, because you went down there, and I feel like a lot of guys think you're like the sleeper candidate or something, you know, and I feel like that's no longer the case, man. I feel like you got the monkey off your back about a year ago, and I feel like it's been gangbusters since then, and like you're a threat anytime you're south of the border.
Yeah, no, we've had some good runs. You know, I think maybe you know, a lot of people that don't know my background racing down there. You know, I've got, I think this is either like my 22nd or 23rd Baja 1000. I think 23rd. You know, and I've won a lot of races and championships down there on four wheelers with Wayne Matlock. So, you know, I've got a lot of experience down there. I think it took a little while longer to, you know, really start running up front all the time and be as competitive as I knew we could be. But, you know, I feel like we're there now.
Well, what's the biggest difference between running a quad and running a Polaris RZR, you know, in the UTV class? Because obviously, like you said, you've won down in Baja. You know what it takes to win. You know logistically what it takes. What's the biggest difference switching from, you know, running a quad over to running the UTVs?
Yeah, it's just so much more goes into the UTV program. You know, there's the vehicle's bigger, there's more parts, there's way more prep work that goes into it. You know, to prep a quad, I feel like, you know, you can do that a couple days, like, no problem. And then, you know, it's like, throw the quad in the back of your truck, you know, to trying to pit, you don't need as much fuel, you don't need as many spare parts, so you don't need as big of a crew. And you know, I feel like that the quads, there's less parts to break as well. So you know, we had our quad program where, you know, for the most part, we didn't really have a whole lot of issues. You just rode as hard as you could, and you know, hopefully won races. Versus the UTV program, there's so much that goes into prepping the car. You know, I feel like we do so much R&D in testing, development, dialing the car in. You know, I've got way larger pit crews now. You know, we use a fuel tower out of one of my trucks. You go through way more fuel. You've just got, it's just a way larger program and operation, you know, from people to money to logistics to all of that. It's a lot bigger operation. So it takes a lot more time and effort. You know, and I think that makes it a little bit more difficult to win. And then I also think probably racing the UTV is a little bit more of a, not to say that racing a quad is not a team effort, but I think that more of it rides on the shoulders of the riders. You know, I think some of the guys I rode with, we could have been on a basically stock quad and probably still went out and won the race, versus the UTV is more of a team effort, you know, where your prep guy has got to be 100% on point. Your chase guy has got to be exactly where they need to be. And, you know, a lot of it is in the thousand, you're going to have problems. So it's who can address those problems the quickest. And, you know, a lot of what comes down to winning a race like that is who overcomes adversity the quickest. So you got to be prepared, and you got to have the parts, and you got to have guys that know how to fix things.
Yeah. Well, you know, and talking about that, I'm just looking at things going, you mentioned Matlock, you know, yourself, and you know, I look at Piplick just won the UTV Worlds. He came from a quad background. Even look at short course Corey Weller. She came from a quad background, and she's killing it in UTVs and short course, man. I mean, what do you think it is about the quad that transitions itself well to being a good UTV driver? Because obviously – you guys are all proof of the concept, man. It's working for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and it goes deeper than that. Like Cody Miller, Hunter Miller, Tim Farr, the guy that drove with me, Jason Luberg. Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of ex-pro quad racers that are all doing extremely well. I think a lot of it comes down to when you're racing a quad, you've got to be able to read lines for four tires, you know, so you've got to be able to place four tires where you want them. And I think a lot of that crosses over, and then a lot of the seat of the pants feel of how you drive a UTV. I think having that quad background of you're sliding through corners more, like I think, you know, versus like a dirt bike, you're more railing through everything. And you're leaning it over, you know, versus like, I think a quad and a UTV, just a UTV is a larger version of a quad with a steering wheel instead of handlebars. You know, so I think that's why so many, you know, top pro quad riders have been able to make that transition and, you know, do extremely well in the UTV arena now.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about this year's 1000, dude, because, I mean, it had kind of a weird vibe going in, and I feel like there wasn't as much, I guess, pizzazz around it, you know, and obviously there's a lot going on in the world and things like that. But, you know, looking at this year's race, obviously you guys had a slugfest in the UTV division, man, but kind of take us through this course, because it wasn't an easy 800-mile course, even though it was shorter than normal.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's, whenever it's a loop, the courses are generally pretty rough. Yeah, I felt like last year they made probably the toughest loop course that we had done. And, you know, I was kind of curious to see what they would come up with this year. And Jose, the race director, was like, hey, Wes, you're going to really love this new course. We added a bunch of new stuff. And that's one of the things that I liked about it was we went out and pre-ran. I was like, man, I've never done a bunch of this before, which I was kind of exciting because it was neat to go through some areas and do some trails that I hadn't been on. You know, after we pre-ran, there was like straight up sections where they made, I think they went on Google Earth and like, hey, we're going to go from point A to point B. Like, we're going to let them figure it out when they pre-run. And just there is not a whole lot of trail there. And they had cut some new stuff in. And there was really, really slow technical terrain. And so I knew it was going to be kind of a tortoise and hare race of you had to run a smooth, consistent pace and not have any mechanical issues. I think every really long desert race is kind of like that, but I didn't feel like it was going to be a sprint by any means. And we kind of had that mindset. I was concerned that there were a lot of areas I felt like there was a really big potential for bottlenecks. And I was concerned, you know, about a bottleneck, which is something out of your control, really affecting the race. But we went into it with the mindset of last year I had soloed it. And I just felt like having two drivers gave us a competitive advantage. I think you can solo the race, but you need everything to go perfect. And if it doesn't, it can really go south. And like last year, I got sick. My co-driver was sick. We had power steering issues, and it was one of the most miserable 25 hours I've ever spent in my life. Like, I don't think I've ever wanted to quit doing something as much as I did last year. So I didn't want to relive that. So, yeah, I wasn't sure who I wanted to drive with, and I finally decided to go with Jason Luberg, who he had raced, I think, in 05 on a quad with me, and then in 17 in a Razor. And then he also had done the race last year with another team. So he had some experience. He doesn't speak Spanish, and like he's not a total seasoned Baja veteran, so I wanted to pair him with somebody that had more of that experience. I put him with Jeff Hoskins, who he's an old factory Kawi three-wheeler racer, and he's run Spec Trophy down there. He's been to Baja a lot. He knows his way around. He speaks Spanish, and he runs a prep shop out of Brawley. So I felt like he was the perfect match for Jason. Because I think Jason's a top short course driver back east, has some Baja experience, but I felt like having that kind of more grizzled Baja veteran in there with them would be an asset. So I felt like we had a really strong package of driver and co-driver with myself and Donnie Powers and then Jason and Jeff. Our game plan was I would start the race, go to BMT 3 at race mile 422, and then Jason would do the San Felipe loop, and then I would get back in at La Saldana, which is like around 740, and take it to the finish. That was our game plan going in.
Yeah. Well, I know Luberg. I know him well. He's a good friend of mine. And that guy, I feel like, can wheel just about anything. You throw him into any kind of situation, especially in a UTV, and he's going to figure it out real quick. So definitely, it's one of those where I don't think you can go wrong with him. But, you know, obviously you guys took home the big honors down there this year. Looking at next year, man, I know it's kind of a reboot for everybody kind of trying to figure out what's going on, where the world's going to be. What's your guys' plans, Wes, for 2021?
I need to talk to Polaris a little bit more about it, but I'm leaning towards we're going to do the score series and then probably do a couple select races. I might do the King of the Hammers desert race. Maybe like MIT 400, UTV World Championships, and stuff like that. I feel like I have the biggest competitive advantage in Baja, and I enjoy racing down there. And I just I feel like Baja has the most, it just kind of takes the most technical driving and like kind of the whole package of experience, knowing how to set up logistics and also knowing how to drive. More so, I think it's like more technical driving than most of the races in the U.S. So I enjoy kind of racing out there. So I'm leaning towards that being our focus.
Yeah, I've always loved racing in Baja, especially like the 500 course has always kind of suited my driving style. So I get what you're saying. And I'm actually looking at the King of the Hammers race, the desert race particularly, going, you know, this might actually be pretty technical in certain areas and things like that. So I'm kind of excited to see what they lay out, because I don't think it's going to be something like the Mint 400. You know, I think it's going to be completely different.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one, if we're racing against 10 cars, as far as I'm concerned, the more technical, the better.
Yeah.
And then two, you know, I think for the most part, we generally excel at technical courses. So, I'm all for it. I mean, I think the more of a driver's course it is, the better.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think them pitting UTVs against 10 cars is going to be interesting. And like you said, it's going to take a technical course for UTVs to have a shot at dethroning a 10 car, you know. But, man, Wes, we're kind of getting up against a time break, buddy, but I appreciate you taking the time. You are headed to Phoenix for the expo, right?
Yes, I am. So we're going to have the car on display there in the rugged booth. We'll be doing some different giveaways and contests, as well as like some meet and greets. So if anyone's going to that event, definitely come by and say hi. Then also, please like and follow me on social media. We try to do updates and posts all the time. So that's Instagram and Facebook. You can follow me at Wes Miller 70.
Well, I appreciate the time, Wes. We're up against a time break. We're going to call this a segment here, and we'll be back with more here on the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
From the 2018 Master Distillers of the Year comes a bold new American whiskey in Fistful of Bourbon. Their whiskeys have been award-winning for generations. Now they're going all in on bourbon, blending five straight whiskeys to create a big, balanced bourbon that stands apart from everything else. So grab yourself a Fistful of Bourbon, a blend of five bourbons created with over 100 years of whiskey blending experience. It ain't just a bourbon, it's a damn fistful. Please enjoy responsibly.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
All right, well, that is it for hour number one. Thanks to everybody tuning in on SiriusXM 211 Dan Patrick Radio. We are signing off from our Power Hour, but the fun continues on Sports Byline, Apple Podcasts, and Podcast One, everywhere else you listen to the show. Coming up, big hour number two. This is a long-form interview. We're going to chop it up instead of podcast form and air it nationally so you guys can get all the goodness of this thing. But very good friend of mine, Natalie Richard, she is going into the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame. She's also one of ESPN's top 50 action sports athletes, female athletes of all time. And she's just a great storyteller, all-around badass TV presenter, and one of the world's best co-drivers. And she's going to be on the show for the duration of hour number two. If you're a rally fan, you're just a fan of motorsports in general, this is a great, great interview that I'm very, very excited to air this week for you guys. So, yes, good stuff happening, hour number two, right here on the show. Do have a little bit of time to answer some questions. Hit me up at JimBeaver15 if you got any questions for me to answer. Also, you know, if you're an Apple Podcast listener, please hit the subscribe button and please leave a rating or review. It definitely helps us out. And also want to mention our good partners there at iRacing. Yes, get in on iRacing, PR-JimBeaver. That's going to get you 50% off over there at iRacing's website when you sign up. So, yeah, get in the virtual racing world, man. It's a hell of a lot of fun. Anyways, yes, that's all we got for hour number one right here. Hour number two is coming up next right after this commercial break on the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Hang tight.
You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story. For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All right, so yes, hour number two is upon us. This is going to be a rally-filled hour for you rally fans. Got my good friend Natalie Richard. She's going to be on the show in a massive, massive interview for pretty much the duration of it. This hour being presented by our good friends at Dirtfish Rally School. Find out more information at www.dirtfish.com. And, you know, Dirtfish, you know, they are massive partners of ours. And because of that, if you use the coupon code JimBeaver15, it's going to get you 15% off any and all classes over there at The Fish. But big news is this coming week, a little video called Gymkhana comes out. Yes, Gymkhana. And this is a very special Gymkhana with Mr. TP199 Travis Pastrana. So Mr. Pastrana taking over the reins from Ken Block to do an edition of Gymkhana, and I think it's going to be pretty rad. So very excited to see what comes out of Gymkhana with his Subaru and Hoonigan. And man, you know, Ken Block, he's been the staple of Gymkhana for years. Travis Pastrana, probably the one guy that can do this series just as much justice as Block did. And I'm really excited to see Pastrana around his streets in Maryland, his hometown, and you know, there in Annapolis. And I know he jumped the harbor at one point, some other stuff. So this is going to be a lot of fun. I mean, Ken Block is a precision driver. Travis Pastrana is a stuntman. Not saying he's not a precision driver, but he's a stuntman. So we had a lot of precision driving with Ken Block. Pastrana, I'm expecting some more like shock value stunts. Who knows? Flames, fireworks, you know, Nitro Circus stuff, right? We're going to see what happens when Travis Pastrana takes the reins. I think Ken is definitely a little more precise than TP. TP runs a little bit looser, and TP's quite the showman. So it's going to be interesting to see. I'm very excited about that coming up. I think we're going to do a live watch on the show next week in regards to that. So, yeah, it's going to be a whole lot of fun. But that would definitely be our rally news for this week, brought to you by our good friends at Dirtfish Rally School. They got a ton of rally content on their site. It's not only a rally school, but they're a content and a media platform as well. Check them out, dirtfish.com. And like I said before, Jim Beaver 15, that is going to get you a 15% discount there at Dirtfish Rally School. So check it out on the website. We're going to have Natalie Richard on the show. Return here to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest and hands-down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
From the 2018 Master Distillers of the Year comes a bold new American whiskey in Fistful of Bourbon. Their whiskeys have been award-winning for generations. Now they're going all in on bourbon, blending five straight whiskeys to create a big, balanced bourbon that stands apart from everything else. So grab yourself a Fistful of Bourbon, a blend of five bourbons created with over 100 years of whiskey blending experience. It ain't just a bourbon, it's a damn fistful. Please enjoy responsibly.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for 15% discount.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
I'd like to welcome one of my guests to the show, and I got a feeling this interview is going to – I'm not saying which show because I got a feeling we're going to air it on probably all of the shows, but my good friend Natalie Richard. Oh, man, it has been a long time, Natalie. How the hell are you doing?
It has been a minute, hasn't it? I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm all right, kind of like everybody else, trying to kind of figure out what's going on in the world today and what I'm doing now and what I'm doing next year. And I don't know.
Right.
I guess I'm in the States. You're in Canada. You actually almost got stuck in, where was it, like Aruba, right? Before this happened?
I was. Yeah, when everything hit the fan, when it was declared a pandemic and, you know, they had all the travel advisors and everything, I was in Aruba. And initially, because I was there with my parents, and initially we said, okay, you know what, we're gonna stay here. It's really safe. The numbers are low. Like, we are distanced from everybody else. It's not a problem, you know. And but then they started, you know, everything with the Aruban government was changing. The Canadian government was changing. The airlines were changing. Everything was stopping. And so we finally said, okay, let's go home. And we ended up on the last rescue flight off the island back to Canada, and they didn't fly again until July. So this was March until July. And so, I mean, it would have been a great place to be stuck. I wouldn't have complained with that, but it was good to be home too.
Yeah. Well, and you actually go down there quite a bit, right? Because I know, like, you're one of my favorite people to follow on Instagram because, like, I don't know. It's almost like something the Travel Channel would put out. Like, I swear you were one of my favorite people on Instagram because you never know what's going to pop up. But you spend a lot of time down there normally, right?
I do, yeah. When I go down, it's usually for about a month. And sometimes, like last year, I was able to go down twice. I was lucky enough. But it is one of my favorite places. It's such a beautiful island. And, you know, I'm not paid to say this or anything, but it's such a wonderful spot with the most beautiful beach. And once I started going down there, I realized that, you know, it kind of spoiled me for everything else. And I've tried other islands, and I'm like, nope, Aruba's it for me. That's the top one. I'm going back. So we have timeshares down there and go down as often as we can.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's actually probably, it's kind of, and I think one thing we've learned through this pandemic too, and I promise we'll get to some rally talk here in a little bit, but one of the coolest things, I guess a positive, I don't want to say coolest things, one of the positives that's come out of this is, I know, like, now within the digital space, we can all work remotely. And I think now, like, it's an amazing time in the world today where, even before this happened, but you could go and, because you do, a lot of people know you from rally, you do have a day job, but, you know, you can go and work remotely for weeks at a time, you know. And I did that during this. I went to San Diego and sat on a beach for a week or 10 days, you know, and was working on my laptop sitting in the sand, you know. And I think it's kind of a cool time where we can actually go and do that and work remotely. And we're not leaving anything behind, where 20 years ago, I mean, you were chained to a desk and there was no working remote, right?
Exactly. And the thing is, you know, so there's pros and cons to it. The great thing is, and like you say, I go to Aruba, as, you know, as long as I can. It's not many jobs that you can say, okay, I'm going to pick up and go somewhere for a month and work from the beach, you know. But like you say, because of technology, we can do that nowadays. So that's great. It gives me the flexibility, and my clients know, because I'm a financial planner. That's the day job you speak of. So my clients know that every year, this time of year, I'm always working remotely. So I'm still answering all my emails, and I'm still making phone calls, and I still have, like, Zoom meetings and webcasts and whatever, but I can't meet someone face to face and shake their hand, you know, which we don't do now anyway, even though I'm back in my office. But the downside of it is that I'm always on. I'm never switched off, you know. Yeah. So my phone might ping at 7 p.m. and I know it's my work emails coming through, and I'm still checking them. I'm not necessarily answering them, but I'm still checking them. And I think, like, in the past 10 years, let's say, there's only maybe one time or two times that I was somewhere that was like a 12-hour time difference away, so I wasn't as connected. But it does give us that freedom and that flexibility, and I'll take it, because I would rather have that than, like you said, be chained to a desk. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, there have been part of you kind of jonesing to get back down to Aruba just because of everything that's going on. You haven't been able to.
To get back down to where, sorry?
I said, part of you, you know, I know you spend a lot of time down there. Is part of you, like, having the itch now that you've kind of been, I don't want to say stuck in Canada, because I love Canada. You love Canada. Obviously, you're from there. But has there been an itch to get back down there, and, you know, and knowing that, you know, it's tougher to get down there now and everything going on? Like, you had an itch to really get back down there?
Well, it kind of sucked to have to cut our trip short, you know, which we did by 3 weeks, you know. So I'm lucky in the sense that I did get a bit of the taste of it in March, and, you know, and had some time in the sun on the beach and got my vitamin D and all that jazz. That was great. And right now I'm planning to go down, you know, next spring. I understand that those plans might change, but for now I'm okay. We had a great summer here in Nova Scotia. I'm not complaining about that at all. Yes, I would like to get back down on the beach, and I'm used to traveling a lot throughout the year. whether it's personal or work related, whatever. So, you know, it'd be nice to get on a plane again and go through an airport again and all that jazz. But for now, I'm just kind of loving where I'm living and enjoying everything that Nova Scotia has to offer. So I'm okay for now.
All right. Well, let's switch gears, talk a little racing, because I want to actually go back, because I don't think a lot of people, they know the present day Natalie Richard and all your accomplishments, but kind of how you got started in rally. And I want to get into that. But first off, I want to congratulate you. Obviously, going into the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame, I mean, that's what spurred me to kind of message you. And we hadn't talked in probably a year or two. But I was like, man, this is big, Natalie. I mean, what an honor.
It is. It really is. I mean, it's really nice to be recognized. I mean, you know, when we do everything that we do in motorsports or any sports, whatever, you don't do it for the recognition, you know, you do it for other reasons, whatever. But then when the recognition comes later on or when you have these honors, it's just, you know, it's a feel good kind of thing. And it does definitely make me feel good. And it's nice to be recognized by the Canadian Motorsport Hall of Fame. That's great. You know, it's something really nice. And on top of that, what I realized is that there was a local article here in Halifax, and it's not often that Halifax has done very much media at all on rally or myself or my brother or anything like that. And it had been quite a while. But then when this article came out to announce, you know, the induction, and so many people who are here, somebody that I might play soccer with or some of my clients or whatever, that they had no idea that I had this other side to me, this other life, you know. And then they all see the article. Like yesterday I went on a hike and I bumped into two people separately, and they both said, oh, congratulations, you know. So it kind of spurred this awakening, I guess, in my community here in Halifax, and the people that you know, I see all the time and I talk to all the time, but they just had no idea. So there's that whole other side of it too, which is kind of cool. It's nice to get congrats from your friends and your peers and your clients and whatever. So for sure, it's a great honor, and I'm joining a lot of cool people that are in the Canadian Motorsport Hall of Fame. So I'll take it for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you know, that leads me to another question. I know there was a period in your life, and we'll get into this in a minute, but I mean, you were running rallies on both sides of the border. I mean, nonstop for, you know, well over a decade of your life. And I know in recent years you've kind of scaled back. I mean, I know, what was the last time you were in the car with Ramana? Last year, I believe, at OSBR, right?
Yeah, exactly. It was last year. So much fun.
Yeah. And I love him, and I feel like he's your first call. Anytime he's going to jump behind the wheel, I got to call Natalie and get her behind the wheel, or, you know, in the co-driver's seat. But I got to ask, like, if I, you know, I've toyed with the idea of going stage rallying here and there and renting a car from Dirtfish. We've talked about it, things like that. And I go, like, if I was going to do it, you're on the short list of my very first call. Like, I want you, you know, riding with me. You know what I mean? Like, do you get a lot of calls? Because, I mean, you know, I look at your accomplishments. I went back over them today and I kind of knew, but I'm like, how is your phone not blowing up off the hook with everybody wanting you in a seat? And we're going to let Natalie answer that question when we return here. So we're going to put a pause on this interview. Trust me, there's a lot of good stuff still to come with Natalie Richard. If you want this cut, uncut in its entirety, hit us up over on Project Action on Podcast One. We can do that up there. It's uncut. But here we've got to chop it up for the national feed. But hopefully you guys are enjoying it. We'll be back with Natalie Richard when we turn here to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing. So why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP Advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at gspxtv.com today.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. We got my good friend Natalie Richard knee-deep in this amazing interview with the Hall of Famer, Natalie Richard. I like the way that sounds. But, do want to mention once again our good partners at Dirtfish. If you haven't already, please head over to dirtfish.com. Check out all their amazing rally content and use the coupon code JimBeaver15, and that's going to get you 15% off any and all classes. Let me tell you, going and sliding rally cars around just outside of Seattle, beautiful, beautiful scenery, but a whole hell of a lot of fun, and you want an escape from life, that is what you need to do. JimBeaver15 is that coupon code at Dirtfish again. And before we're rudely interrupted by that commercial break, Natalie Richard, Natalie, you were just, about to tell me, about your phone blowing up off the hook. I was asking, why haven't you got a whole lot of opportunities to go rallying?
It's funny because I do get a lot of calls. I still get a lot of messages, whatever, some from people that I know and some from people that I don't know. But, back in, I think it was 2014 or 2015, I said, okay, no more. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear here, but no a-holes, no crashers, no newbies. Like, yeah. this was my list of rules, yeah. Right? And that whittled it down, like, really a small list.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, I do still get a lot of inquiries, whatever, and almost all of them I turn down. There's a few people that that I know that if they contact me, it would be really hard for me to say no, but I have other things that I have to think of now, like my day job, like if my it's not like I'm running a flower store that if I'm not there, if I can't make a decision, whatever, it's still going to run pretty smoothly, like as a financial planner, I'm using my brain and I'm constantly, my decisions are imperative, let's say. So if something happens to me when I'm racing and, I'm like in a hospital for 2 weeks or whatever, like it could seriously affect my business and my clients. So I have to think of that side of things as well. And then, there's a lot of things that come into play. So even somebody who might be on my short list, I have still had to say no, just because it doesn't work out or the timing doesn't work out or whatever. But then when I do an event and my name gets out in social media or whatever that I'm doing events, like it spurs more phone calls, so I deal with those. But it's not that I love rallying and I'll always love rallying, but my heyday is over, let's say.
Yeah.
I don't say that I'm retired because I'm not fully retired, but for the most part I pretty much have to turn things down.
Well, and it probably doing it, and I know Ramana, he's been highly successful, and he kind of comes in and does it, he does a rally here and there, and because he enjoys it. He wants to get back behind the wheel, and I got a feeling like when you're approaching it the way you do, you probably really enjoy being in the car, whereas when you were doing, a dozen, 15 events a year, like it got to be a grind, and sometimes it was a job. Like now there's probably an enjoyment factor, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I always enjoyed it, but the level of preparation and the work that had to go into racing back in my heyday, let's say, it's completely different. Like now, we might be 2 weeks prior to one rally and I'd be still working feverishly on the next two rallies following that, so it was just a constant grind. Like you say, there was always work to be done and, keeping on track of stuff and whatever. But obviously I still loved it. If I didn't love it, I wouldn't have done it as much as I did. So there's always that wonderful component of loving what you're doing and being able to make some money out of it too, which was fantastic. But now when I do an event like I did last year with Ramana, it's purely for fun. Obviously, we're still safe and try to go fast, but we're having fun and that's the main point of it, So it's completely different. When I do a race now compared to when I did one 5 or 6 years ago, it's very different, but still a lot of fun, tons of fun.
Well, let's go back, because I kind of want to go back to start and kind of, obviously, I think a lot of people know, you know, your gateway in, but let's go even further back. So you grew up in Canada. You moved to Australia, which I just learned doing my research for this. I had no idea you moved to Australia. You went to college, then you moved back to Canada, correct? And you took a job managing your brother's team? Is that how this worked?
Sort of. You had the right components there. So when I had graduated from my undergrad here in Canada, I was living and working in Toronto. And that's when, this is in 1999, and that's when my brother started rallying. And I had no clue what rally was back then. Like, I didn't even know that he knew what it was. But, you know, he saw it on TSN and he's like, oh, cool, we have that here in Canada. And like within a month, he started rallying. And I didn't know what it was, but I knew that he was coming not too far. He was coming to Quebec for an event. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to go check it out. My parents decided that they were going to drive from Halifax and they were going to check out the same rally. And they didn't know what it was either. And we went and we're all like, oh, my God, this is really cool. You know, so within 2 weeks, I decided that I was going to start managing his team because he was doing all the events in Canada and all the events in the States in his first year of competition. Wow. Which is pretty nuts, but whatever, that's what he wanted to do. So I said, okay, I'm gonna help him out. And that's how I got introduced to the whole sport, you know, and slowly, like, he had one co-driver in the States, Ben Bradley, and there was one event that Ben couldn't make, and I'm like, okay, I'll sit in there. And, you know, I took a little co-driving course and off I went, and I wasn't very good. And then, but, you know, Pat was like, he was pretty good about it. And then about 2 months later, his Canadian co-driver, Ian McCurdy, he couldn't make one of the Canadian events. And I said, oh, okay, I'll sit in there too. And so that's how I started getting in the co-driver seat, was just from managing his team and just kind of sliding in because he needed someone. And so I did that with him for a little bit. And then I moved to Australia and I did a few rallies while I was down there. And I said, you know, I love it here. This is a great country and, you know, whatever. And I said, the only thing that would bring me back to Canada is if I got a really good, you know, rally gig. And lo and behold, my brother called and he said, okay, do you want to be on Subaru Rally Team Canada with me? And I'm like, hell yeah. So I picked up all my stuff and I moved back to Canada, and then it went from there. So that was 2004. And that was ended up being a kick-ass year for us when we won the Canadian, U.S. and North American championships. So that was the first triple crown right there with my brother in the first year. So yeah, it started off well.
Well, and truthfully, that's a whole nother story. But, I mean, your brother, to honestly go from really never even being to a rally to 5 years later, like being with, you know, factory Subaru Canada and winning a triple crown, like, mm-hmm. That's crazy that you – I mean, you were a part of that ride with him. But, I mean, that's a very fast – I mean, normally people take some 4 or 5 years to figure out how to drive a car properly. Like, that's a crazy career arc there, you know, for both of you.
Yeah, like – Pat is one of those guys that, you know, it doesn't matter what it is, whatever he puts his mind to, like, he is, you know, going to aim for the top. And, you know, he's a really smart guy. He's brilliant, you know, and he decided that this is what he wants to do. And he put all of his effort into it. And he was really good. You know, he had a lot of talent and he went up the ranks really quickly. So that's awesome. But then when I came on, he was already, you know, light years ahead of me where he needed me to be. And so he was pretty hard on me when I first started, like brothers and sisters are, you know. And then, but the good thing is, and I give him kudos to this, because he was so hard on me, I had to, you know, become good at what I was doing really fast. Because if I wasn't, then I knew I was going to be out of the car. So it was the pressure and I guess maybe the competitiveness in both of us and whatever, but it worked out really well. We had a good ride together.
Yeah. Well, and as all this is going on, I know you'd said the only thing that would get you to move back from Australia to Canada was a good rally gig. I mean, obviously you're a financial planner now. Did you have a day job then when you were doing all this crazy stuff, cross-border racing in Canada, the United States? I mean, there was that whole decade there where you were just kind of insane traveling and that. Were you still working the day job or were you strictly dedicated to rally?
Yeah. No, I it wasn't lucrative enough for me to just rally, you know, so I did have some part-time stuff on the side. And so my undergrad is in business and commerce. And so I've always been involved in the investment industry, you know, since 1997, I guess it was, whatever. But I also got my postgrad degree in teaching. So I was a teacher as well. And it for a while there, like I was doing four jobs, you know, the main one was co-driving. And so that was my number one, you know, in terms of schedule and whatever. And then working around that, I was doing some substitute teaching in French here in Halifax. And then I was also working for my father's financial planning business. And I was also translating press releases for motorsport from French to English. So these four jobs I had all worked really well around each other. And I never got bored. I was always doing something different, you know, but it just worked really well. And so I'm lucky in the sense that I was able to do all that and, you know, do what I wanted to do, my passion, which is rallying, and still make ends meet by doing all these other things too. So I was lucky. Not everyone can do that. So
no. And you know, I feel like this period, and I don't want to call it the golden era of rally in North America, because I think that's that's discrediting a lot of guys like John Buffum and people like that in the past.
Right.
So I want to be careful with the way I word things, but there was an era of rally in the United States and Canada where, and a lot of it was when the action sports people, Pastrana came in and Dave Mira, and obviously you had the factory teams in Canada here in the States, and you know, X Games got involved. You're able to do X Games a couple of times, but I mean, do you feel fortunate? Like there was just that era there where rally became really almost mainstream, you know, in North America. And I know it has been in Canada, you know, and you guys have had a great television package up there, but here in the States, I mean, you were a part of that. And it's hard to replicate it. I mean, it was on TV a lot and things like that. I mean, do you feel fortunate to be a part of that and been able to do X Games? Because like, I don't see that changing in the next decade. And I look back previously and it just wasn't there, you know, but you were a part of that, you know, I don't want to say golden era, but that special era of rally here in North America. And once again, we are going to put a pause on things. We will let Natalie answer that question when we return here to the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver here, along with my good friend Natalie Richard, Canadian Motorsports Hall of Famer. Natalie, we are, we're getting close to the end here, but we still got a lot left in the tank. But we're kind of talking about the golden age of rally here in North America.
Yeah, it was really cool to be a part of, for sure. Like, and I think it was just before like social media really caught on. You know, now everything is, you know, social media, it's all online and whatever. But just prior to that, like you said, you know, there were the amazing TV packages in Canada. We had a great TV show that was year after year after year. And of course, you know, they tried in the States as well on ESPN and whatever. I was involved in that too. And with X Games and everything, it was gaining that momentum, you know, in the average person's home, and more people were, you know, knew what rally was. It was becoming a bit more mainstream, like you say. But now it's different in the sense that, you know, there's still a lot of exposure, but it's not, you know, you're not necessarily seeing it on the ESPNs and the TSNs and RDS and whatever. It's just a whole different outlet. So for me to be part of both in front of the camera and behind the camera on both sides of the border, it was just, you know, it was amazing. And I'm glad that I was able to be part of that. And like you said, with Travis and Dave and Ken Block too, they all kind of came in around the same time. And it was this injection of a different kind of life into the sport that we didn't necessarily have before. So it was pretty cool to be around for all that. And it's different than how it is now. I'm so glad that I was part of it then. And I also think sometimes when I look at social media and how things get out now, it just seems, oh, so much easier to just post it as opposed right. to what we had to go through back then. But yeah, no, I mean, it was really cool to be a part of. And I know what you mean about the golden years. And I agree with you. We can't take away from some of the other big names like Buffum and whatever, but it was a special time. That's for sure.
Yeah. Wait, how did the whole TV host thing come in? Because you were doing that on both sides of the border. And I know, how did that pop up? You know, obviously we know you can talk well, you can both speak French and English. Like how did that pop up? Because that was an awesome opportunity. You've done a lot of television work.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I'm just trying to think of how it started. I mean, it's all thanks to Lawrence Partington, actually, at TV2Go here in Canada. He was the producer for the show for both the French show on RDS and the English show on TSN. And he asked me if I wanted to be a part of it. And then he ended up also producing the show that was showing on ESPN as well. And that year I wasn't in a car full time in the States. And so I was doing the ESPN show in the States with him. And prior to that, I had done the Canadian shows while competing. So I was, you know, hopping out of a car. Somebody would be there waiting for me with a cameraman and microphone, whatever. And I would do my little blurb in English, and then I would change microphones and do my little blurb in French. And then I would go do an interview with someone and do an interview with somebody else. And then I might have had like 2 minutes to go pee before we had to leave again in the rally car. So it was pretty hectic, but I enjoyed doing it all. And, you know, I would do it again. Last year, I was part of the team that was doing the online webcast, I guess, of the Tall Pines rally at the end of last year. And that was fun too. It was I was an anchor in the studio, so I wasn't on site, but it was very different, still a lot of fun. And I don't, you know, I wouldn't say no necessarily if that opportunity came up again, because I do enjoy it. And, you know, it's a sport that I love and I know. But it was pretty cool to be part of it before. And, you know, maybe one of those opportunities will come up again. We'll see.
Yeah. So I'm looking down this list of accomplishments, and I know probably one of my favorite things was a few years back. I know X Games named you one of the top 50 female action sports athletes of all time. And I know you and Chrissy Beavis were both on that list. And I thought that was huge for Rally to have, you know, both of you on that list, you know. And it really, you know, I think your guys' accomplishments, it really was a statement and had people think again about Rally. But I'm looking down this and, you know, 47 national victories, you know, at both sides of the border, 10-time North American champ. I mean, 5 times in Canada, 3 times the U.S., 2-time Triple Crown. I mean, kind of take us through some marquee moments that stick out in your mind, because this is a lot of accomplishments, and I don't want to go rally by rally, but there's got to be a few battles or moments that stick out in your head that were like, you know, some of your favorites.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, thanks for naming all those, by the way, all those accomplishments. I forget about some of them sometimes, so it's nice to hear when somebody else says them, because I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. But for sure, the X Games list, that was pretty cool. And, you know, for Chrissy and I to both be listed there, it was nice. I enjoyed that. I can't remember how many years ago that was now, but it was pretty cool for them to include you know, Rally on that list, because it's not as common as a lot of the other sports that the athletes are from. But yeah, for sure, I did enjoy that. In terms of things that stick out, somebody asked me this not too long ago, and I said that, you know, winning the Triple Crown is probably the toughest thing, because we all know how hard it is to win one championship. And, you know, like for people that don't know Rally, It's not like you win one event and win the championship. You know, you accumulate points throughout the season. And so in order to win a title, to win a championship in 1 year, you have to be pretty consistent throughout the whole year in order to get as many points. And so to win one title in a year is tough enough, as we know. But then the Triple Crown, which is winning the North American, the Canadian, and the U.S., all three titles in the same year, you know, that's pretty tough. And so when Pat and I did that in 2004, it was the first time that had ever happened. And so that was really cool, you know, like making history. And then in 2010, Antoine and I repeated it. So that, you know, those were both really tough things to accomplish, and I'll probably name, you know, the Triple Crown winning as a definite highlight. But if I had to go back and decide which rallies were you know, stand out in terms of, yeah, that was sweet, it would have been back in 2005. I was competing with my brother. We are a privateer team, and we're competing in the States against Stig Blomqvist. And Stig, who, you know, he's amazing world champion. You know, like Stig is a big name in the world of rally. And he was competing over in the States. And it came down to we're at the Colorado Cog rally, obviously in Colorado. And on the last stage, we were a couple seconds back from him, and what's funny is that we're actually competing using his used tires. So they had a team over from the UK, and they had a much bigger budget than we did, and so my brother was buying their used tires, and we're competing on their used tires, and it was all down to the last stage. We were behind them by, you know, a couple seconds. I can't remember how many exactly, but we had to push flat out, balls out, you know, on this last stage. And I remember my brother, he was cutting the corners like you wouldn't believe. And I'm just thinking, I hope nothing's in on the inside of these corners, because we were cutting them, you know. Anyway, we end the stage, and we ended up beating them on the entire rally after 2 days by 0.4 seconds, you know. And that was just like a, oh my God, you know, it was a great moment. So yeah, that one definitely stands out for me.
Yeah, that's great. 0.4. And, you know, and it's funny thing is, I think a lot of people, and I've got a lot of off-road listeners, and a couple of seconds is nothing. And actually in a lot of motorsports, a couple of seconds is nothing. But in rally, when you're at that level, I mean, to make up just a few seconds on a stage, I mean, we're talking, yeah, like you said, I mean, to win by that margin, though, I mean, that's like a NASCAR and IndyCar finish. That's crazy.
I know. And yeah, and I'm not like, you know, we won not just the stage by 0.4. I mean, you know, we won by a few seconds, but the entire rally by 0.4 seconds. And it was just like, holy mama. It was a good win. That was a good feeling.
That's a blink. You know what I mean? That's literally, that's a blink.
Yep,
that's
not even.
That's, wow. That's one heck of a moment right there. And, you know, and it kind of goes back.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I think is really key here. You talked about your brother and what he's accomplished, but you, like, you have been very, very successful, and a lot of it goes, you know, you've been with some of the best drivers in the world too, but, you know, a lot of the programs, you've been on factory programs, but a lot of your victories and stuff came, you know, when you guys were running on a smaller budget. And I think that's a credit to how well you are in the car as a co-driver, but also the drivers you surrounded yourself with, because you've done a whole lot with the teams and the partners you've been with in the car, but with a whole lot less than some of the competition you were competing against.
Yeah, 100%. And the thing is, you know, like I tell people all the time that in order for things to work, in order for you to win a championship, to win a rally, to win a stage, everything has to work, not just the driver being, you know, game on and the co-driver being on point as well. The mechanics have to be awesome. The car itself has to be awesome. Like everything is like such a crazy amount of teamwork, and everything has to work in order for you to do well. And so I've been lucky enough that I've, like you said, I've had drives with and teams and seasons with amazing drivers, very talented drivers, which is awesome, because you can't win without that. But we've had some fantastic people behind us, and you know, some amazing mechanics who are able to MacGyver things when they need to be MacGyvered, or prep them properly, or do the all-nighters and everything, you know. So we've had such a successful time for multiple reasons, so many different factors that go into it, and there's a lot of work that you know, that the mechanics obviously do, and the drivers and co-drivers, there's so much preparation and late nights and all that jazz, but it's everything coming together that really makes a difference. And I've been lucky enough to be on teams that we all have this common goal, and we're all willing to, you know, have the sleepless nights and work our butts off in order to get there. So yeah, that's been pretty cool.
Well, Natalie, we are up against our we actually went over our 30-minute hard break, but the conversation was great. I feel like you and I could sit here probably for an hour or two and just catch up, just because it's been so long.
Probably.
But, I'm trying to think last time. I'm trying to think. It might have been New England Forest Rally a couple years ago when you were with Ramana in the factory Ford, the M-Sport car they brought over maybe, and that's when Block and Higgins and Pastrana, and there was a big event there. It's probably one of the biggest North America or the biggest U.S. rallies we've had in probably the last decade, I think. But I remember that. That might have been the last time we saw each other in person, maybe.
I think it might have been. Like, I was trying to think of this too, but I think that might have been it. And what, I mean, if it was, what a great rally to be at. There was so much competition there, like the cars and the teams and the it was just. What a great time. Like, Ramana and I had so much fun. Unfortunately, we had a little mishap on the first stage, and so that kind of took us out for, for the first day. But we came back, and we knew that the next day was going to be all about enjoying the car that we had, the M Sport. You know, like, it was to be able to drive in a vehicle like that was amazing. And we had a lot of fun, and we set some really good times, and it was just really cool. So to be there, both for you and I, like you said, one of the hotly contested events of the decade, maybe. That was a great moment. I'm so glad that I was part of that.
Yeah. Well, here is hoping you and I run into each other a little bit more frequently than once every half decade.
I know.
Right?
It's been a while. We're due.
Yeah, we are definitely due. But Natalie, always a pleasure. Congratulations once more on the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame. It's such an honor. And I know, are they going to do it's a virtual induction ceremony, correct? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, so normally what they do, so for class of 2020, they would normally have a ceremony at the 2021 Toronto Auto Show, obviously in Toronto in February, but because of COVID, our ceremony is going to be something virtual, I also believe in February. But then the following year, assuming things are back to normal, when they do the ceremony for class of 2021, they'll invite us from the class of 2020 to the ceremony as well. So we will hopefully still have something in person, but like a lot of other things, we're just going to have to settle for a virtual thing for now. So it's unfortunate, but it is what it is, and you know, I'm not going to complain about that.
Yeah, no, the honor is still all there, and like to thank Natalie for the opportunity to interview her, and we got to take a short commercial break. We'll be back to wrap things up here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online, in syndication on networks across the U.S., and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
And that's all she wrote for this week's General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Racer. Big thanks to Natalie Richard, my good friend Luke McMillan, Wes Miller. Great show. Solid lineup today. Thanks to all of you for tuning in wherever you are tuning in. Thank you. Once again, I encourage all of you to go over to Apple Podcasts, hit the subscribe button to this show, and leave a rating or review. Check out Project Action on Podcast One, my other show as well. Got that Natalie Richard interview uncut and unfiltered right there. Very lengthy on Project Action. So if you want that uncut, it's a place to get it at. I'm at JimBeaver15 on social media. And, big thanks to General Tire, Polaris Razor, Vision Wheel, Rigid Industries, Dirtfish. It's at JimBeaver15. It'll get you 15% off. Optimus Starters and, Down and Dirty Radio Show. It starts with Optimus. Our good friends at GSPX TV Axles and iRacing. It's PR-JimBeaver. That'll get you 50% off there at iRacing if you want to go virtual racing. And we got some big news on the e-racing and e-short course front heading into next year. So hang tight. It's we got a lot of news to talk about on that front. But, you guys, hopefully you guys are having a great holiday season. I know things are weird in the world, but be safe. Take care of yourselves, and we will be back with more next week right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.